You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Everybody, Tim here, and on behalf of the Polyhedron Society, I would like to welcome you to this week's episode. If you have questions about what the characters look like or what their background is, we have some nice information on our website, thepolyhedronsociety.com. Check that out. Also, we have a link over there that you can find that'll take you to our Patreon site, where if you're interested in supporting the podcast and you like what you're hearing and you want it to keep going, then we encourage you to become a patron. So without further ado, this week's episode.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars Episode 6, New Friends. The aftermath of the back alley brawl with Ozala reveals pent-up emotions from the crew of The Last Ride. Lan learns some strategic information concerning an Imperial supply depot. The Bothan, Risker, and the Trandoshan Mountain Vog meet a new friend at the Sant Medical Clinic. Risker finds some much-needed inner peace, if only briefly. Lan arranges an ominous meeting with Twi'lek Tonovan.
I have already rolled the obligation and have no triggers. Again, that's the beauty of having four characters with decent obligation caps. It's 50-50 almost. So nothing there. We're going to start now with rolling Destiny. We'll go ahead and get Draco to roll his.
One dark.
Cody, Vog.
One dark.
Dr. Risker.
Two dark.
And Lan.
One dark.
Oh, we're going to die.
Not a good
start.
Can our heroes beat the odds?
The Destiny pool stands at 5 dark side.
Got me thinking like that. Points.
Nice. All right, so the scene opens with a shot of the planet, and then it kind of zooms out. And as it does, the planet speck, and you can see the stars and stuff, become a highlight and a pupil. The pupil is diamond-shaped. As it continues to come out, it shows oversized Trandoshan's face. He's breathing heavily and has a scowl on his face, and slowly all you can hear is like a heartbeat as the blood rushes through his body, and slowly the sound fades in and you hear Dr. Risker asking him if he's okay. Vog is, I would say he's been caught up in the carnage momentarily, trying to leave this lifestyle behind, and here it is all of a sudden in your face, fighting for your life. He stands over his fallen foe. The rest of you guys are looking around at the crowd. The crowd just looks in silence, not really knowing what to do. Nobody really knows what to do at all. All
right, so the Grand, he's pretty badly mauled at this point, I imagine.
That is correct.
Go over to the Weequay Ozala, and I'll kind of get down on one knee and just kind of check and see if, is there any kind of response from him? Is he anything?
He doesn't move, but he attempts to moan, and whatever blood has gathered in his face kind of gurgles out. But you can tell that if he's alive, which he looks like he is, he's barely clinging to life at this point.
I'll look to Risker. Is there anything you can do to stabilize him?
Let me check. And, Risker's, at this point, after seeing Vog basically tear these men to shreds in ways he hasn't seen before from him because of Vog's normal nature, he kind of, hesitantly walks around him to bend down and check out Ozala. See what state he's in, if he's, on the last leg, or if there's anything he can actually do.
There's stuff you can do to treat him to stabilize, but if you don't intervene relatively soon, he's gonna die.
Knowing that, I'm gonna gesture for everyone to just give like, me space. So he, you know, takes out his stuff to start help stabilize. And I guess that would be a medicine check to see if I do that.
To stabilize?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that going to be... I imagine it's going to be pretty hard. Yeah.
He's got rivals, so you get to upgrade the... No.
Like an adversary.
Yeah.
Ow, man.
That would be awful.
That would probably be hard.
I would imagine that it would be the most difficult that it could be.
Which daunting.
Would be so hard.
Is it,
would
it
be
daunting? Hard. Is I'm not daunting.
Oh, as far four, as but medical almost. Checks.
Oh, the medical check only goes up to get. The three. Right. Up to the
right.
Yeah, because I think daunting's part of the critical intro yeah. chart.
Oh.
Yep. All right. So that's the three difficulty. Yeah.
Correct.
If I remember right. Okay. Give me a second.
And I'm going to flip Destiny to upgrade it.
You are so mean. Trying to save your own character, and this is...
What are you doing? Draco's asking you, what are you doing?
The man's dying. I can't let him die. This was supposed to be just... I don't even know what happened here. You just... You walked out, there's suddenly a fight, and... It stabs and blasters. I mean, what... What happened? No, I'm just...
Is the one still moving, or is he noticeably alive?
Who's the one that you're talking about?
The one, the minion that I knocked out with the...
No, he's unconscious, but you can see him breathing.
So one of my difficulties suddenly...
You're going to hear a...
Did you just...
You just put him down the other... What are you doing?
He just tried to kill us.
Hey, Draco, you might want to go check and see if there's any more of these guys around. Keep an eye out for us, okay?
No, they're right here.
I know, but there's a big crew.
Yeah.
Check the perimeter for me, would you?
He just shot that man, Lance.
We'll save this one. Come on.
Frisker kind of just, you know, mouth open.
Just guess. Do it. We don't have time.
I'll scan the crowd to see if anybody else is.
I'm sorry. Today's not been a good day, audience. I keep dropping all the dice. I blame Cody. He's given me his curse. I need my red one. Can I borrow yours?
No, you can't.
Thank you.
Because you'll lose it.
I got butterfingers today.
Okay, so as Dr. Risker provides medical aid to the failing Captain Ozala, Lan scans the crowd to see if what?
Well, we'll make sure nobody else is drawing on us, first of all.
Nobody else is drawing. I mean, they see this kind of stuff very, very often living in a shadow port like this, but that doesn't mean they're all...
We can't get a divorce.
They're not shocked by what they see, but they're not cheering or anything else either. They're just kind of watching.
Okay, so I got a triumph, a success, and two advantages.
Nice. Yeah. So you will be able to stabilize. If you want to, you can spend your triumph to eliminate one of his two critical injuries that he suffered. Mm. Because I know that Vog critted him right out of the gate at the beginning of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he fell unconscious, that prompted him to take another critical injury. Oh, he receives a horrific injury from falling unconscious. He will lose a point of willpower until he's healed.
Hmm. What was the first critical injury?
It was a fearsome wound, which reduced his presence and willpower checks.
What would it be like, flavor text?
I would just
leave
those.
I'm imagining it would probably be more damage to the face, since that's where the extent of his injuries have occurred.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to be intimidating and exert your will upon someone else when it looks like someone drove a truck right through the front of your mouth.
I'd probably help with his face area. So I guess the, because I'm a doctor, I'd go with the more daunting injury.
The horrific injury?
Yeah, so.
Okay. You're able to, you know, start patching his face up. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably one of the worst looking, at least looking, injuries I've ever seen on a guy.
During this time, Vog is very, he looks like, you know, he still, almost looks like he's still coming down from his anger because he kind of settled down at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Draco left everything, you can tell that he's kind of, you know, very excitable. He's kind of pacing back and forth and he almost looks like his anger is still directed towards the Weequay. And after a while, he actually kind of looks back down to him and actually kind of yells at the, almost like, you know, as if he could still hear him. It's like, it wasn't supposed to be this way. You just, if you would just take your lick like a man and fight fair, no one had to die. Cowards.
Lan will go over to him, to Vog. He's like, Vog, you gotta calm down. It's over for now. We're not sure what's gonna happen out of this. We need to get inside.
I know that.
We need to get this man proper medical attention. I mean, I've stabilized him, but I need more. I mean, he's still badly injured.
He'll be fine.
His face is broken in several places. He's been shot, stabbed at. He's not going to walk this off.
But he's not dying.
There's still the threat of infections, and we need to take him somewhere. All right, so I'm not, you can't just have me save a man and then get him to a point where he's fine by your terms and then just leave him out here. Look at this place. Do you think he's going to be fine if we just get up and leave? You know what half of these people are going to do?
I did him a courtesy. I saved his, we did him a courtesy and saved his life. We didn't have to. You know what Draco would have done if he'd stayed here? You know what he would have said? Listen, it's his fault that this happened to him in the first place. He could have taken his bruises like a grown man and not fought like a coward, but because he drew a blade, this is the punishment he gets, and he will have to live with it, and he's lucky that he gets to live with it.
Is there a medical facility that we know of in town?
I'm taking my dice back.
I keep dropping them. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I'm just like, you just left me with a difficulty die. What?
It's all you need, because you're difficult to live with.
It's because there's 5 dark side points. Well, 4
now.
There's
only 4 now on the bright side. We've got one very faint glimmer of hope. It's because we tried to save that guy. See? See, in that respect, the dark and light points make sense. Because we attempted to do a good thing, and we were rewarded with a light point.
Until this guy gets back up. I mean, and
even if we weren't successful, it's the thought that counts.
Draco is going to head down toward the docking bay.
Purchase a sniper rifle. Climb a ladder, shoot Ozala from from over the grassy knoll.
I'll walk him back to the ship.
Okay, so
hold his hand. Here it is, a severed hand.
There is a medical facility here. Think of a frontier town type vibe. You have, it's called Sant, S-A-N-T, the Sant Clinic. It's probably one of the only type places like this. Most people shoot them and leave them. Got that. And what was Draco doing again?
He's walking toward the docking bays.
Okay, so the docking bays are not in a central location where they're all together like in a neighborhood. They're spread out amongst the entire town.
How would I find out where their ships are? Is there like a port
master? There's no real port authority here. Basically, the docking bays, the landing berths, are owned by individuals, and individuals may own 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. You have a total of 23 landing berths here in Felina.
So search faster, because they're taking up 2.
And they may not even be together, depending on availability.
It would be nice to have their ships.
Yeah, I'll search.
Okay, so the easiest thing for you to do would be to find a computer terminal and attempt to access that information that way.
Or Streetwise would be effective too, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, these guys aren't exactly the most subtle people around.
Correct.
So, especially if somebody's, say, you know, in good with those kinds of people would be like, hey, you saw, you know, Rough Bunch with
decked out gunships. I try. However you want to do it, you have many options. You just tell me how you want to go about getting the information, and I'll tell you what you need to roll.
I'll try a computer.
So you'll be able to find a public access terminal, and you can query a search on docked vessels. It's not that hard. Okay. It would be an easy computer's check.
2 successes and a threat.
Okay. What vessels are you looking for? There's several.
The Corsair and the Reaver.
The Corsair and the Reaver.
Oh, you wrote that down.
Well, yeah, because he wanted those ships for, I think we all did.
Oh, see.
Vog isn't okay with killing, but he feels no inhibition against stealing both of his ships and leaving him in the desert in his underwear.
Fun fact, I don't write anything down for Riskers. I don't need to
Riskers
remember
it. Riskers wouldn't
anything.
Remember it anyway.
Yeah.
So, the Corsair and the Reaver, you find the docking bays that they're in. They're relatively close to one another. And the threat, I will leave as a secret.
Dun, dun, dun.
Those are the best.
So, they are in the same...
general area.
But they're not together.
Well, no. Two ships can't fit in one berth at the same time.
So it's either in the north side, twins. The west side, right. The east side, or the south side.
All right. They're working on Ozawa, right?
Yeah.
So I will find the Reaver because that was Elko's ship.
What do you... No, I'm not going to ask that question. I'm just going to see how this plays out.
Because you're not there.
Yeah. I was going to ask a question, but then I realized Tip's probably thinking that. So I'm just going to... I'm just going to see how this plays out.
That's a bad sign. I'm just going to let the audience know. That's dark times ahead.
I don't know. I'll see.
We'll see, right?
See if my prediction's right.
Okay. So you're going to that vessel?
Yes.
How did you even do that? I took all her dice away and she still dropped one.
Apparently there was one stuck between my toes and I didn't notice. I'm also not wearing shoes. And I moved my feet and then the dice fell.
We're all going to die tonight.
Except Dr. Risker.
Yeah.
Because flattery will get you everywhere.
They weren't that
Oh,
funny.
Hey, good. It's my steel. It's my challenge die.
Oh, good.
I hate that.
Rolled a despair.
Yeah, you can keep that. I'm going to let you keep it. Put it down.
It did roll a despair.
Put it down.
Okay, so Draco Revan is able to make his way to where the Reaver is docked.
Do I see any crew members outside the ship?
About the time you get there, you see a guy. Looks like he had been running across the floor of the bay towards the landing ramp of the ship, and he runs right up inside. No sooner does both of his feet make contact with the ramp, it begins to close. So imagine you walk up, the way I imagine the bays is they're dug into the ground, right? And they've got buildings built around them, but there's certain points where you can actually look down into the bay. The way you imagine it is that by the time you got there, this guy had just gained access to the berth, the landing berth, and was running across the open field of the berth up into the ship, and by the time he gets on the ramp, it closes up.
I'll try to get close.
Yeah, you're standing on like the lip, not on the lip, but around the edge of the hole that's right. The landing bay. So you're looking down in.
I'm going to go down toward the ship.
Okay, so you make way and gain access to the landing bay. You're walking across the landing pad, the tarmac, I guess is what it would be called, to the ship.
I see any other activity?
None whatsoever.
Trying to do memory. Seems like I remember there were like
a dozen.
Yeah, there were about a dozen of those guys.
It was like between two ships. Came together.
I don't know, because if I remember correctly, those ships, when we looked up on them, they had a pretty good-sized crew apiece. We only saw the people that came out.
Yeah.
The crew alone was six people per ship.
Yeah. 12. And we just took out four.
That was the crew alone.
Right, not counting Captain.
Right.
So, technically, there's still 10 left.
Which would be
five in each.
Yeah, so pretty good odds.
I want the internet to know I'm giving Steve a look.
Okay, so what's the
I'll
rest of you
guys
doing?
I'll just wait and see if they open back up.
Well, I'm still trying to stabilize the one guy.
Which you have successfully done and treated one of his critical injuries.
Okay, then I'm trying to make sure the other, and I'm pretty sure if I remember right, I asked, my memory's crap today. I was telling Glenn that we needed to take him some, like a medical center, and then you said...
There is a medical center here, the Sant Clinic. Also, while you guys are treating and really deciding what you're going to do with Ozala, the crowd starts to disperse. And they're talking amongst themselves. Some people are, you know, making comments about, you know, one or the other, fair, not fair. And it's really hard to tell exactly who they're talking about and what they're talking about. It's easy to assume they're talking about the fight that just happened. And then some of the folks kind of hang back. And at any point, if they have an opportunity, when your backs are turned or you're not paying attention, they kind of just nonchalantly start trying to go through...
The dead people's stuff.
Unless you make an effort to stop them. They will begin to rifle through pockets. And
Risker definitely, as soon as he sees one of them near him, he snaps.
Well, like, they stay away from Ozala.
Well, even like the Gant.
The Grand,
yeah. Mm-hmm. They start doing that, he just snaps. Just get away! What are you doing? Just go, man!
Take this guy to the medical clinic. Drop him off. Come back.
You're the boss. I'll pick him up, Rob.
Careful.
I make no effort to handle this man gently. I'm still clearly mad at him. You know,
I just kind of grab
him by the collar and just kind of hoist him up, toss him over the shoulder.
And like, Rister just kind of like gestures again at Lan, like, what are you leaving me with? And then trails after Vaugh going, you have to be gentle. He's in critical condition.
Once those two leave, I'll go back into the bar. The two gentlemen that Risker had pointed out to me before the fight started. I'll go over to their table, take a chair, turn around backwards, sit down. Bartender, another round over here on me.
They, the two guys, they're older humans. Look like they've lived probably their entire life on a freighter in space. They just kind of exchange almost confused looks, but then they shrug and they're like, okay, we'll take a free drink.
Sure. Gentlemen, name's Lan Kai, captain of the last ride. Couldn't help but overhear your conversation before all the excitement started about a depot you might know about.
How do you know about that?
Well, I just overheard you on the way out the door.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Dangerous place, I guess. I don't know.
Tell me about it.
What do you want to know?
Well, just heard a little bit about a depot before I walked out the door. Can you go through your story again? I'd love to hear it.
Glad you remember, because that totally escaped me.
Well, that's because I gave, like, Lan Kai nothing to work on. I'm like, there's a depot or something? And I think you can, like, maybe scavenge it. I don't know. It's empty or it's full or something.
That's why he's the boss.
Right. We made a drop out of hyperspace to, and you can tell the guy is trying to tell you a story without revealing any technical details or anything like that. Yeah, it happened, but I'm not going to tell you exactly what it was or where it was. Dropped out of hyperspace, do a couple repairs, but as soon as we dropped out, we had to turn around and bail. There were Imperials, I wouldn't say everywhere, but the place was guarded, like a supply depot.
When he says the word Imperial, Lan's eyes squint just a tad. Not enough really for them to notice, because he's trained not to, but...
To the viewer, you know.
You would catch it, or to the listeners. That's something that gets his attention very quickly.
Right.
So this was an Imperial depot you ran across?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there was a... looked like a... I have a hard time telling the difference between a Victory and an Imperial class, but there was a Star Destroyer sitting there in orbit around the planet.
Well, that would make the prize just even sweeter, now, wouldn't it?
He looks confused, and he's like,
Are you talking to me? Is there somebody back there? Who do you keep looking at?
Lan Kai looks to the camera, winks.
So, I'm a businessman. I look for opportunities wherever I can, and this sounds like an opportunity for someone. It's my business to get this kind of information and send it along to whoever wants to pay for it. And I'm very interested in helping you gentlemen out.
Helping us out?
Sure.
How would that help us out?
Well, anytime you can help the last ride, you're helping yourselves.
That's our slogan.
He scratches his head and he goes, I'm sorry, son. You've lost me in your...
That's okay. So where exactly was this depot that you found?
And he kind of looks around like he's thinking. Before he can answer, the music blares. It almost makes you jump because it starts up unexpectedly. The Togruta is back on stage thanking everybody for coming in, and then she starts singing her next number. So that's now going on in the background. You said you're a businessman?
That's right.
So I happen to be a businessman myself. And he kind of smirks. So your sudden interest in what I know tells me that it's worth something to you.
Of course. Information's always worth something.
Right. So how much are you willing to pay for this information?
Well, that depends on how good the information is. So far, you're giving me nothing. I have nothing to work with. To base my judgment on.
I can sell you coordinates.
Okay. What else did you happen to see while you were there?
There was the Star Destroyer. We were chased off by TIE fighters.
In every direction, we're surrounded.
TIE fighters, and then there was the supply depot in orbit. That's what it looked like.
And how much is this information worth to
you? Oh, he looks around and...
Look, this is an Imperial depot. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I can just walk away from this and it not cost me anything.
I have no desire to go back anytime soon. So, I don't know. Would you say 1,000 credits?
Let's say 200. Like I said, I can just walk away from this and it not mean anything.
Yeah, but you could be walking away from something big. So how about 500?
Against Imperials? That's extremely dangerous and it'll be very hard to find a buyer.
But that sweetens the deal, right?
Sweetens the deal for some people, not everybody.
So it's not that sweet.
Now that I think about it, it could be pretty dangerous.
It probably is.
250.
The lowest that I'm willing to go for this would be 400.
I'll tell you what, 300 credits is a very fair price for this type of information. You will not get this opportunity from most people.
350?
I'll roll a negotiate check.
Okay. It's an average difficulty.
You got this. Lan, he's our man.
And I'll flip a destiny to upgrade it.
Why? You are also a sassy Sally.
What was the difficulty, I'm sorry?
It's average, upgraded one.
So it's one purple and one red.
I have one success, two advantages, and a despair.
The secret location is... he's willing to tell you, but has a heart attack just as he's getting it.
alien pops out of his chest. He ate the day special.
Should have made the tomato soup.
Okay. Do you have any idea how you want to spend the advantages?
To cancel out the despair.
I think this person likes me enough that if he ever runs across anything else like this, he'd be willing to at least approach me about it.
It's an awesome way to spend advantages. I like it.
I'll take it. So he'll take you 300 credits. He'll give you the coordinates to the location, and he'll promise to keep an eye out for anything else like this so he can pass it along to you. And then do you have any suggestions on how you want to spend that despair? I have one.
Oh, I do. All
right, now let
Jeremy do his first.
No, go ahead.
Do you have anything?
No.
Okay.
I'll wait. What about now you, Claire? I'm nervous because what if your idea is better than mine? Cody, do you have anything for the despair?
Yeah, I already voiced mine.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
He's really an imperial spy.
Oh, that would be awful.
Oh, I vote Steve's.
That would be awful.
Or someone else hears the story and the coordinates. That would also be
why
a good
do we way. Do that? Why do we do this to ourselves? This is.
Well, again, I'm a masochist, so I'm
again, I wholeheartedly believe that makes for a much more interesting story.
But yeah, I vote that someone else who thinks that does sweeten the deal hears the coordinates and everything too.
Well, we already murdered or how many crews.
Or how many people has this guy already sold these coordinates to? Could be very possible.
Oh, he's a scabber.
It could be true. It could be accurate. But he's selling to anybody and everybody he'll buy.
The coordinates lead us just straight to the Star Destroyer.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, is that Star Destroyer won't always be there.
So, okay, I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to spend the despair.
Oh, good.
It'll be...
So many secrets.
It'll be that. Some secrets going on. So, the guy shakes your hand, thanks you, turns his drink up that you just bought him, and kind of shakes it at you and looks at it, gives you that, how about another
kind of sure.
kind of look.
Really? Really? So can I buy you another drink as you put my 300 credits in your pocket?
Exactly.
Really?
Hey, it's all part of doing business.
That's right. Besides, drinks are only, what, a credit or two a bottle? Right.
They are? Because I remember otherwise the other night. I'm pretty sure you made me pay like 5 credits. I don't know. I feel like I've been lied to.
You may have been getting a better quality drink than these guys are getting,
maybe
too.
Maybe you were buying it by the pitcher.
I don't know. It was a crazy night for Riskers.
Yep. You have another round with them, and then...
I don't drink this stuff anymore.
Yeah. You kind of glance around, and you can see Tyr is kind of lounged back at... in his seat, his hands propped up on his chin and cheek with one finger kind of pointing up, and he's just kind of looking at you expectantly.
I'll move back over in that direction.
Buy him a drink quickly. He's looking thirsty.
Yeah, we're going to head that way when we drop off.
You'll head back.
Dead weight.
Well, I'm going to leave a note with the guy that we horribly maimed, so when he does wake up.
I'm sorry, note.
Yes. Actually, yes. It's nicely written. I'm so sorry. And then it's like tucked into like the pocket of his front jacket.
So when you drop him off, the doctor who runs the clinic, and he has a droid that's basically his receptionist / nurse. It's one of the 2-1B medical droids with the respirator-looking thing plugged into his face.
My favorite.
But when you bring the guy in, the doctor of the clinic is actually one of the Besalisks, which are the four-armed guys that, like, what's his name? Dexter Jetster? The guy from the diner.
Oh, those
Attack
guys.
Attack of the Clones. Obi-Wan!
Yeah,
that guy.
Cool.
It's one of those guys. He's wearing scrubs that look like they've never been scrubbed. You know?
Do they all have the big, like, longshoreman arms, or is that just that guy?
No, they all have those arms, okay. Yeah. And he's got the funny growth on his mouth that kind of
looks like he's got a mustache.
Looks like he's got a mustache. His scrubs, though, are still, they've got, like, brown stains on them, which you're assuming is dried blood.
Huh, what
friend
a coincidence.
Of yours?
Right? He's not quite so pathetic or disheveled as Dr. Risker, but...
What are you saying?
You're pathetic and disheveled?
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Right. He looks like he's, you know, done a lot of surgeries, especially recently. And he's like, what happened to your friend?
A bad case of falling down the stairs.
This guy you're bringing in, and he points at the weak way.
He lost a fight.
Looks like you lost a couple. Put him on the gurney. We'll take him back.
I just drop him on it.
He's, my friend here's not very good with bedside manner, but I managed to stabilize most of it, but he still has a very serious wound and
in the face area.
Yeah, I see that. You're a doctor?
Yes, actually. And his like eyes lighten up because like, oh my god.
Are you looking for work?
What kind of work do you have?
Farming. What kind of question is that?
Bird.
You're in a clinic. You're a doctor.
I meant...
And he laughs a hearty laugh that's almost not what I would call sinister, but it's very disconcerting how he laughs.
I already like him. Sold. See you guys later. I live here now.
So he takes his upper left arm and puts around your shoulders, right? And hugs you in, and you smell body odor.
Oh.
And he takes his lower left arm and puts it around the not the small of your back, but just above that part, and uh-huh. pulls you in for kind of a like a hug. And with his other two right arms, he gestures at the...
all this can be yours.
Yeah, that it's that kind of thing. He goes, this could be your oyster.
Sand oyster.
And his body odor is very sour.
Like sour milk left out in the desert.
No, yep.
Okay. So, like, you briefly, like, probably Vaugh can hear it because I imagine his hearing is kind of good.
I'm a lizard. I don't have external ears.
Oh, you have lizard hearing.
Well, then the audience knows Risker's this. Breathe out the mouth. Breathe out the mouth. And he's like,
smells so bad I can taste it.
I'm currently on a job with someone else, but I mean, are you overrun with patients right now? I mean, is it serious?
Yes, look around.
All right, he looks around.
Yeah, his waiting room is not necessarily full, but there's a couple people waiting, and he's got people in the back that are, you know, in little examining rooms that are waiting on him. Someone's always getting shot or stabbed around here. Always. Or falling down the stairs. Wink, wink.
His ears kind of fall down in embarrassment as he realizes, oh, I've been caught in that. Oops. Well, I'm currently, I'm part of a crew right now, but...
I imagine you could do some kind of part-time work while we're here.
I would probably have to ask Captain Lan, right?
I don't imagine he'd be bothered by it. If not, we'd know where to find you.
I would like to see how our friend does. I'll stay for the day, if that's all right.
Excellent, excellent. Come on in.
He
points at Vaugh and is like, do you need medical attention?
No.
Okay, good.
I like him. Can we keep him?
Big forearmed, hairy, stinky
funny, I think
pet.
He was thinking that about you, you dog man.
Aww.
So he shows you around real quick, gives you, I'm not going to say a uniform, but at least a doctor's lab coat.
Oh, my God. He, like,
he rips off the last guy's name tag right before he hands it to you.
Well,
don't worry about that.
Does it even fit him?
No, it's too big.
Every time. Well, he takes, like, a moment to appreciate that this lab coat is so much nicer than his, right. You know? He, like, takes a moment to, like, pull it on and rolls up the sleeves.
As you're doing that, a flashback scene starts to form. Mm-hmm. And it's of a clean, pristine Dr. Risker when he was much younger, cleaner, and less stressed.
Had so much hair.
Yeah. And Dr. Risker's looking at a data pad in this flashback as somebody starts snapping their fingers and you're immediately pulled back to now. And it's the doctor, the basilisk guy going, hey, snap out of it. You've got a patient in room 3. Get to it.
Oh yes, of course. Of course. And, you know.
Daydreaming. Jeez.
He bounces to it as, you know, remembering that just like fills him with such sweet nostalgia.
It's like the old days.
Oh. Yeah, when I had most of my ear and teeth and I wasn't balding and I had a nice brown coat instead of patches of gray. Also, I bathed every day.
So the screen will wipe and we will catch up with Vaugh, who is returning to the Crystal Palace to join in a conversation with Tyr and Lan as the Togruta woman, Mina, continues her set. So Tyr is very expectant on details. And he asked Lan, so what happened out there?
He's like a gossiping girl. I love it. I love Tyr. So, I love all the characters.
What happened? Did you kiss? Did you like it? Did he talk about me?
So, well.
You did that a little too well.
You did.
We had a little trouble out on the street. Started out as a fist fight. We won that. Went to a knife fight. We won that. Then it went to a gunfight, and we won that.
We're 3-for-3.
Very good, sir. He looks like he's very ecstatic that all this has taken place for some odd reason.
boredom.
He's very happy in your performance.
Before we were interrupted, we were discussing a meeting.
Yes, and there's a couple reasons why. One is mainly I like you guys. You bring a certain something to the table that I admire. You're smooth, but at the same time, you're willing to do what needs to be done, whatever that may be. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Sure.
Sure, because you killed those guys.
Well, to be fair, they tried to kill us first.
They didn't leave us much choice.
Right, but I'm sure a smooth guy like you probably could have honestly talked your way out of it. I'm just guessing. Could be wrong.
Maybe.
And then you killed him. Captain Lankai, for what it's worth, you have blood on your hands.
I'm afraid we all have blood on our hands.
I thought I washed those this morning, sorry.
But life is dangerous out here on the rim. You gotta do what you have to do.
That is very, very correct. These are muddy waters.
So in the screen, the crawl? Credits, yeah.
Yeah, and on the website, thepolyhedronsociety.com.
I read it in the script.
Buy the t-shirts we don't have out yet. Wink.
Right. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But you're willing to do what you need to do. And? I don't know, I'm proud. I'm happy.
Well, here's to being happy. Raise my drink to it.
He turns up this dark green, almost NyQuil colored inconsistency drink and chugs it.
Y'all take a sip.
God, I just want to do an autopsy on Tyr's body and find out what's in there. What the heck does he just
keep? Just a distillery where his liver should be.
He was born with 3 livers.
Oh, that's good. He'll need them.
2 of them are dead. One's crying in the corner.
Yeah. And when he smiles, his teeth are
green.
Actually have a green tinge to them.
Why?
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 Well, I was just guessing because he's been drinking. That's all he drinks, so I mean.
And eats.
Right. Because you have to chew it. It's like nightmare.
It's thick, right? Let's hope that your meeting with Tonovan is equally as productive.
I hope so.
If not more so.
When do you think we could set this up?
I can give you permission to do so immediately.
Okay.
You just set it up, and I'll make sure that one of the... You want to do it in a warehouse, a landing bay, outside of town? You just tell me what you would prefer, and I'll see what I can do about making the arrangements. I kind of know the guy who runs the place.
What do you think he would feel most comfortable doing?
He's cocky. He's a pretty cocky guy, so he's so cocky, he'd probably do it at Malvo's farm, so wherever.
Why not do it here, then?
In here?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea. What if your negotiations go as good as they did in the alley? I don't want my place shot up.
That. Well, that doesn't comfort me at all, but okay.
I'm just saying, I don't, if things go south, I don't want them to go south in here, and then I get involved in a turf war. Which I don't want.
Of course not.
Now, I don't care about the place across the street, so, I mean, hey, you know.
Right. There's another bar you could do it in, another cantina.
That's
true. It's a rough place. I don't care if you...
But you mean this isn't the dive bar?
No, this is the Crystal Palace. This is a nice place.
Oh, wow.
The other place is the Scorn's Den.
Well, I definitely don't want to do it there.
Well, there's no Scorn. It's just the name.
That's bad enough. We'll do a warehouse.
That's fine. I'll get you a warehouse. I'll get my folks on it.
What do you think the best way of contacting Tonovan?
Probably courier. You could dial him up, radio transmission, however you want to do it.
Smoke signal.
No smoke signals.
I understand that we could use the comms, but I'm just asking your opinion on how likely he is to even answer us to begin with.
Well, as aggressive as he's been on the procuring the farms and actually setting up his main base of operations in Yuma, I'm pretty sure he would talk to you, especially when you're willing to discuss the Malvo farm.
Okay.
Now, I hope nothing unfortunate happens.
Well, we'll be fine. We've been in tough spots before.
You can't help but catch a weird vibe from how Tyr is really concerned about something happening and how he don't want a turf war, but he's concerned about things happening.
Which concerns me.
It's almost like you get the impression, it's almost like he wants something to happen.
So that's why he suggested a bar, because that would lead to a bar fight. He already knows how that ends.
Okay. Vog, you want to stay here and wait for Risker and Draco to come back?
I ate Risker. No.
Not gonna lie. I hate him.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. I'll go back to the ship then and see if I can make contact.
Okay. So you get up, walk out. The goons let you go, of course. And,
oh, God, now I'm stuck with this guy.
As soon as you shut the door, he looks at Vog and he's like, so, you want a drink?
Yes.
And then we fade our screen wipe to Draco, who's watching the ship.
Oh, man.
You're watching the Reaver, right, Draco?
Yes.
Okay. So these guys are locked down, and they remain locked down until you hear the engines fire up. And you can see, you see it lift off, rotate, and as soon as it clears the buildings and stuff for takeoff, the Reaver, and then you can see the Corsair come up almost simultaneously above the top of the city and blast off.
Should have made my move. Oh, well, I'll head back to the bar, I suppose.
Okay, and you will make your way back to the bar.
How long has it been since before he returns?
When Vog returned to the bar, I forgot to point this out, he sees people rifling through these guys', you know, pockets and things like that. You've been in there for probably, I'd say a good 30 minutes or so. So you've had a few. And by the time Draco gets there and starts to enter the bar, all you see are two humans and a Grand pretty much in their underwear.
So Vog was, you know, we'd been drinking for a while before the brawl started. We had a fight. And then we come back and go back to drinking. So by the time Drago comes in, and let me tell you something else about those Twi'leks. What's up with them? I mean, they got tails on their head. I don't trust anything with tails on its head. I'll tell you. I mean, it's like the built upside down. Who decided that was the right way? They're a practical joke of the universe. Whoever put them together.
Tyr just looks at you in awe, like he don't even know what to say. And he goes, well, you know, the maker is cruel, I guess.
I'll drink to that.
And I will let you drink to that. Let's have another round. Draco Revan, he points.
You owe me a drink?
Oh, have a drink, sir.
I was nice enough and respect you enough to have taken that fight outside.
I appreciate it because I would hate to have to kill you.
I hate that too.
Or have you killed, because I don't do that stuff anymore. And he gets you a drink. He's good and toasted. He goes, you know, I used to be like really quick on the draw. He goes and look, and he pulls up his, he holds up his left hand. And it's just as steady as it can be. You see that? He goes, now here's my shooting hand. And he pulls it up, and it's just, he has that twitch to it. And you can see he's got a couple of scars from blaster shots in his hand and under his coat, where he's been shot in the hand a couple of times. He goes, and I have a hard time doing what I need to do with this hand anymore. It's kind of how I ended up here.
If it makes you feel any better, I'll kind of set out my claw on my hand, on the table. And you have to imagine this is a big... This claw probably dwarfs his hand.
Claw, right?
This big meaty paw with like three large claws. No thumb, just fingers.
Right.
Like, it makes you feel any better. I was about 6 cycles old before my hands got so big that I had a hard time holding blasters at all. And my kind have difficulty manipulating blasters made for other species anyway.
Right. And it's rough.
I've always struggled.
Same here.
Where is our captain at?
The ship.
I'll thank Tyr for the drink, and I'm heading toward the ship.
He got the go-ahead to do the meeting.
And we're celebrating that now. Have a drink.
Another time.
Your loss. And he watches you leave. And Vog, you've seen that look before. And it's kind of out of place on this guy, because he seems like he's a nice drunk.
Right.
But it's almost a predatory gaze as he watches, and never says a word, but he watches Draco leave. Then he turns back. You know this Tonovan fella's done horrible things.
I heard about taking the other farms.
Killed people.
There's a lot of that going around these days.
Some people's feelings wouldn't be hurt if he didn't survive your meeting.
I'm sure that wouldn't benefit you at all.
Well, remember, I don't want a war.
Right. No, none of us do.
That's why I can't, or shouldn't, intervene.
All right, I'll drink with him a little while longer, and after a while, you know, because as I'm sure Tyr will find out faster than anyone that the more Vog drinks, the more he kind of gets in the mood where he wants to fight, because he gets that energy. So once he starts to get back to that point, you know, it's like, I think it's probably best I go.
Well, while you guys are drinking, Tyr makes sure that he gives you more information about this Tonovan and his guys.
Almost
that,
to kind of keep me listening?
Well, not to keep you, but he runs down the list of despicable things this guy's done.
Someone excellent. Also has a high charisma. Oh, wait, is that presence?
Yeah, present.
Charm's on there.
We'll part ways, and I'll head back to the ship ready to, I guess.
As Vog stands up, Tyr stands up, reaches up, pats you on the... on the shoulder and
kisses you goodnight.
Just kind of smirks and pats you and, you know, good luck.
Pat him on the back and good jarring slap on the back and head out.
All right, once I get back to the ship, I'm going to go into my room.
Okay.
And I'm going to open up a compartment that I have hidden inside the room.
Okay.
I'm going to take out a small box. I'm going to go into the cockpit and hook up this box into the communication system before I use it. I'm going to get it hooked up, and then I'm going to call my contact.
Okay, so the device, it shows the connection. It shows the status meter. Once it makes a full-blown connection, you hear a garbled transmission, and you hear a voice. It takes probably 5 or 6 minutes before the voice comes over the intercom where you're communicating with, and it says,
"This is Shadow Leader."
Shadow Leader, this is Shadow One. Secure connection. I have some information for you involving a Imperial depot I think you'll find interesting.
Transmit that information using code blue.
Also, I've run across some information on a medicine that could be really vital.
Vital to our cause?
I think so.
Do I need to send a representative there?
Yes.
Transmit your coordinates along with your information concerning the depot. We'll make a determination.
Transmitting now.
Now you're going to make contact with Tonovan. And what we'll do is, I imagine you guys have one of those view screens, not a hologram projector, but just a view screen. And when you dial him up, basically, or make contact with his camp, there is he's kind of a green-skinned Twi'lek who comes in onto the screen and is like,
"Hey, boss."
And he's addressing you, not somebody in the background.
Captain Lankai of The Last Ride. Pleasure to talk with you today. I represent the Malvo Farm and wanted a few minutes of Tonovan's time.
You're speaking with Tonovan.
Excellent. Well, Tonovan, I'd like to set up a face-to-face, if we could, to talk about the farm. Tyr here in Felina has been gracious enough to let us use some space to have this meeting so we can have a sit-down and everybody be safe and not have to worry about any hostilities. Say tomorrow here in Felina. I'll have Tyr send you the coordinates for the warehouse.
Perfect.
Say 2 p.m.
2 p.m. local standard time is perfect.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Can't wait to see you.
Same.
Click.
I love you. Bye. Oh, I said it.
That went way too easy.
We'll end it there.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.